appreciate his sympathy for a little preacher. Brother David, I guess, is about 6'5". I'm 5'6". So this morning you're going to hear the long and the short of it. I do want to thank you all for everything that you've done, all the work involved. And I do understand something of the work it takes to put on one of these conferences. And I thank you, men and women, thank you for the service, the food that you've already served and what we will be eating in a little while. Thank you so much. Thank you for the music. I've thoroughly enjoyed all of these specials, haven't you? Just thoroughly enjoyed them there. I like the way it's done around here. I like the way your pastor does things. Very reverential, very worshipful, very respectful. Don't you, Don? And not much flesh. You know, you can't completely rule out the flesh. But I thank you. All of these specials, Linda's piano playing, I thank you. Brother Bob worked... And while I'm at it, I'll be there too, Brother Bob. That's where I'm staying. Brother Bob worked all night cooking that brisket, which I did not get one piece of. But he worked this morning. He was up this morning cooking out there too, the chicken. I want to return the favor. I want to feed you, I hope. Luke chapter 6, the Gospel of Luke chapter 6. One of the many ways we know that this is God's Word, truly God's Word, is the profound simplicity of it. That God declares infinite wisdom and glorious things in a few simple words. Quite often, one-syllable words, doesn't it? That's the way our Lord spoke, didn't he, Brother Todd? Divine truth, eternal truth, glorious things in one-syllable words. That's, you know, we try to say things, and we often use a lot of words to try to say them. Well, the Lord says so much in so few words, doesn't it? That's one way you know that this is His Word. Look at Luke chapter 6 with me in verse 17. It says, and He came down with them and stood in the plain. And He came down. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, He, who God manifest in the flesh, came down to earth. If He had not come down, we could not go up, could we? He said in Exodus chapter 3, He said, I am come down to deliver them out and to bring them up. That's why He came. So He came down. The high and lofty One who inhabiteth eternity, He said, to this one will I look, who's loved. So He came down to dwell among us. It says He stood with them. He stood with them. The high and lofty One. He came down. Someone said in another place, what is man that thou should think on him? Be mindful of him. What is man that God would even give him a thought? Much less, or much greater, to visit him. I believe, Brother David, He did visit us this morning. And I'm thankful. Why would he do that? Because of who he is. He came down. Why did he do it? Because it seemed good in his sight. To the praise of the glory of his grace. And he says he came down and stood with them. Who? Who did he come down to stand with? With them. The people, the men that he came to condescend down to were nothing but sinners. Scripture says, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. With them. He came to be numbered with them. With the transgressor. My pastor years ago preached a message entitled, The King and His Motley Crew. He, the king, came down. Well, who did he come down to be with, to stand with? With Simon, with Andrew, with James, with John. You see your calling, brethren? Not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty are called. But the Lord condescends to be in the company of sinners. Look at verse 17. It says, he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples. The Lord came down and kept company with sinners. They were his companions. He was in the company of sinners. That's mighty poor company. Nevertheless, that's who he came down to be with and dwell with and keep company with. David said that in the Holy Spirit. He said, I am a companion of them that fear thee. And he also said, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me. And they were. They were glad that he came down to stand with them in the plain. Look at that. In verse 17, it says that he stood in the plain. A seemingly plain man. Standing in the plain. A man, the scripture says, with no form or comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him, no outward beauty, a seemingly plain man, a man in a plain brown wrapper, as it were, but he's anything but plain. Nevertheless, he stood in the plain with them. And for these that he came down to, he revealed himself to. That he is anything but plain. Do you remember he chose these very ones? Three of them anyway. Peter, James, and John. He chose them to take them up on that mountain that day to peel back that veil that he wore, that covering that he wore, that plain brown wrapper that he wore to reveal himself as he is, to reveal his glory. And when they beheld his glory, they saw him as he is, didn't they? Anything but plain. And that tabernacle, you remember that tabernacle in the wilderness? That plain brown badger skin tent, which so many passed by. And it was nothing to them, wasn't it? The Jebusites and the Hivites and the Hittites and all the parasites, yeah. They all went by, and it was nothing to them, but gathered around that tent were a bunch of Jews, hated, despised by the rest of the world. But to them, that was not just a plain tent. Because God Almighty had shown them on the inside the Shekinah glory of God. So he came down. And stood with them in the plain. In the plain. Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the publican, and so forth. And they beheld his glory. We see Jesus, don't we? Made a little lower than the angels. Why? Most people only see him that way, and he stays that way to them, and that's why they refer to him simply as Jesus. But we know why he became a man, don't we? We know why he became a plain man, don't we, Brother Don? We know why. For the suffering of death, for the purpose of death, to be our substitute, as you preached last night, as you preached, as a man, to fulfill God's law as a man, for us, to be our substitute, our sin bearer, as a man. But he's not that way now, is it? He's much higher than that now, isn't it? He went on to say, we see him high and lifted up, crowned with glory and honor. And so therefore, we refer to him not simply as Jesus, but as the Lord Jesus, don't we? He came down, yes, but he went back up. That's where he sits, crowned with glory and honor. That's why he came. That's what he did. That's where he is now. And this is salvation. That's what you preached this morning. Visit us with thy salvation. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. And it's salvation for us to see the Lord Jesus Christ as he truly is, to behold his glory. That's salvation in the beginning, and that's how we're kept saved, by looking to him who alone can save us, hath saved us, must save us. That's who he is. That's his name. He'll save us. He saves his people for his name's sake. What's his name? Savior. Not an attemptor, but Savior. And that's how we see him in the beginning. That's how we see him, or grow to learn to know him, and that's how we'll see him in the end. Crowned with glory and honor, the successful sovereign Savior seated on the throne. And the way the Lord does this is through the preaching of the gospel. This is how he shows himself. Now look at verse 17. It says in verse 17, the great multitude of people came out of all Judea and Jerusalem from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon. God has a people, remember, tribe, kindred, nation, tongue under heaven. He said, I'll say unto the north, give up. To the south, come. North, east, west, bring my sons and daughters from afar. They'll come because he said so. And they'll come to see him, to hear him, be healed of him, be saved of him. We've got people in here this morning from the north and the south and the east and the west. No, I was thinking about folks from Houston. You know, you're as far south away from here as we are east of here, aren't you? And I don't know who's from out west, but there's probably somebody. But the Lord brings his people from the far points of the earth to see his glory, to hear his gospel and what he did, see who he is. Look at verse 17. A great multitude out of all Judea, Jerusalem, from the seacoast, Tyre and Sidon, they came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. To hear him. And that's how you're healed. That's how you're saved. You hear him. We say that all the time, though. We preach Christ. Why? Because neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Unto heaven, not one. We preach Christ because he is the Savior. There is no other. There is no message other than Christ and him crucified. Is it? That's why we preach Christ. We preach Christ. It's not just a slogan. He's salvation. We preach Christ because God says so. Says to do that. Preach my son. Because sinners need to see Christ. They need to look to him. The only way that they're going to be saved or be drawn to the Father is by Christ being lifted up. The only way. Preachers are like Moses who lifted up the serpent on the pole. They're like that pole. They're only good for something as long as they set forth and hold up the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners to look to. It's not just a slogan. And a man can't preach something he himself has not experienced either, can he? We preach Christ because he's the one we look to. I'm sitting there, Brother Todd, begging the Lord Jesus Christ to give me the liberty to preach him. Aren't we? Not just a slogan. Salvation. Salvation. To see the Lord Jesus Christ. And to hear him, to see him, is to be healed. The Lord sent his preacher, his disciples out preaching. That's what it pleased God to do. What the world calls foolishness. To save his people by the foolishness of preaching. He said, go preach, saying this, the kingdom of God, of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Well, this preaching is what does all that. This is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. This is how the Lord healed, because we all have all of those things in us. All of them. Not one, but all of those things. From the sole of our feet to the crown of our head, there's no soundness in us, like those lepers. We come forth from the womb speaking lie. We're born dead in trespasses and sin. We must be raised to life. What does that? The gospel. Nothing else. Of Christ. Nothing else. It is the power of God unto salvation. Hearing the gospel, and the gospel is a person. This is what we've been hearing since we've been here, haven't we? How blessed we are. Oh, blessed are your ears for what they hear. Most of the world is feeding on the husks of religion. It's true. You hear some of it. You see some of it, don't you? How blessed we are. You come in here at any given time and get a five-point meal. Can't you? Oh, how blessed we are. You see, well, read on with me. It says they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, verses 18 and 19. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits. Sin. That's why Christ came, to save his people from their sin, isn't it? That's the issue. Separates us from God. It's the issue that just vexes us all of our days, doesn't it? This is what we need rid of. And so we come to hear about the only one who can get rid of this sin, don't we? He said, I am come to save them from their sin. Someone once told one of our ladies, you people talk too much about sin. Well, she doesn't know anything about sin then, does she? She doesn't need Christ then, does she? Because that's why he came. Save his people from their sin. Vexed. It vexes a lot, you know, is in Sodom. So are we. It says his righteous soul was vexed. Not just with the people around him, with himself. He seemed as one that mocked. To who? To himself. And everybody else, didn't it? What's Lot's hope? Well, bless God, he came. Lot's hope. And it says laid hold of him, didn't it? Huh? Laid hold of him. Being the Lord being merciful. And took him out of that place. My, vexed. Read on. It says, those that were vexed with an unclean spirit, and they were healed. Tell me, you who are assaulted by the adversary, by Satan himself and your sin within, when do you ever feel rid of that except when you're under the sound of the gospel? You never do you? Except when you hear Christ preach. When you're under the sound of his gospel. Then you feel then and then only like he's led captivity captive. Verse 18, they that were vexed, verse 19, the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him. Like that woman, you remember, with the issue of blood. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just get a little bit of him, I'll be healed. I don't have any hope anywhere else. And so she sought to touch him. And that's why we come here, isn't it? We hope, we pray with her who has this issue called sin, that if I can just, we used to sing that old song, reach out and touch the Lord. while he passes by. And today is the day of salvation. Every time the gospel is preached, it's the day of salvation. It really is. Reach out and touch him, and virtue goes out of him. Saving virtue. The word virtue means power. Power. That's what it meant. Virtue went out of him. Power. Healing virtue. Saving virtue. Saving power. That's what the Lord came to exert. His power. His power. His saving power. Virtue. Power came out of him. Now tell me something. You who believe a true and living God, you who believe this true gospel, was it not the message of a sovereign God reigning and ruling, doing as he will with whom he will, because he will, working, as he quoted, all things after the counsel of his will, and none can stay his hand. Was that not the first message that God Almighty used to open your blind eyes? To turn you from that idol, that man-made, that imaginary God who wasn't God at all, to the true and living God? Wasn't that the first message? Huh? The message of a Christ, a sovereign Christ who came on a mission, came sent by... This is life eternal, to know the true God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. The one sent by God on purpose, with a mission, with a work to do, and he came and he did that work. He didn't try to do it. He did that work. He by himself purged the sins of his people, all the people given to him by the Father. He saved them all, went back to glory, sat down, and he's now waiting, expecting all of this to be wrapped up and all of his people to be with him where he is. You heard this message of a sovereign God, a sovereign Lord, and this is what opened your blind eyes to see God as he is, to see Christ as he is, to see the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't it? Tell me, do you get tired of hearing that? Is this not the message that keeps you saved? Do you not have to keep hearing this message of a God on a throne? Huh? That's what you preached last night, both of you, this morning. Of a Christ who didn't try to save, he actually did. Isn't that what you lay hold on, Brother Todd, unto the end? That's the beginning of your confidence. He came to save you. Well, did he do it? I believe he did. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. He did. And in the end, when you haven't made any progress, like Peter and James and John and all of them, they didn't believe in progressive sanctification, did they? In the end, that their confidence was that one who came to save me is Lord, my Savior. He did it. He said he would. He did it. That's all my hope. Amen. All my salvation. We need, Brother Bill, to keep hearing that, don't we? Amen. Keep hearing that. Keep hearing. Tell me once more about my sovereign Lord. All right, that's what I'm going to try to do. Try to do. That's all we can do. Who can utter the mighty acts of our Lord? This virtue, that's what I want to look at for a few more minutes. This virtue, this power that went out of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to exert his power. How much power does the Lord Jesus Christ have? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. All power. He's declared, Romans 1 declares the gospel, doesn't it? And begins this way, the gospel of God, that his Son, who's declared to be the Son of God, with power. With power. And to be saved, this is what we're saying, to be saved is to hear, believe, call on this one who has all power, the only one, All power to say. And the fact of the matter is, you won't call until he makes you call by that power. This is his power. He calls whom he will, and they come. They will not come until he calls them. They won't do it. They won't come unless he draws them. And this is his amazing power. It said up in verse 13, said, when it was day, he called unto him his disciple. And Mark's gospel, I believe it is, says, he went up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came. They came. He called them, and they came, like you and I would call a dog, and they come. Because he has that power. Look back, just browse with me at a couple of instances of his glorious power. Chapter 5. Look back at chapter 5 with me. See, the Lord, this is the Lord who knew his own, who predestinated. Whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. Those he predetermined to save, he came to save. And he calls them. Every one of them that he knew and predestined to be his own, he comes calling. And they will come. That's what he said. All that the Father giveth me will come to me. Mm-hmm. They will come to me. No man can except I draw them. The Father draw them. And so he came calling all he predetermined to say. Look at chapter 5, verses 1 and following. It came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, Galilee, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And so he entered into one of the ships. He just got in one of those boats. This was Simon's. Now, he knew that. He knew that. He chose this boat. You know how many boats there were around that lake at that day? We just got back from the New England states. And any little fishing village up there you go into is just full of boats. The harbors are full of boats. And so was this one. This is a fishing village. Well, the Lord chose that particular boat that belonged to, well, that some men were borrowing. But he chose that boat and just got in that boat. Read on. He entered into that boat that was Simon's and prayed him or told him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he did. He said, thrust out. Got in that boat. And he said to Simon, thrust out. Cast off. And he did. And he sat down and talked to people. And now, verse 4, when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, now, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Brother Greg Elmquist is an avid fisherman. And I go down there sometimes. We go fishing. He takes me fishing. He's got a new boat. Brother Chris, last time Brother Cody and I were down there, he had a 1962 aluminum boat that leaked like a sieve. Honestly, Brother Cody and I were lying under that boat every night, patching it, so we could go out in that boat fishing the next day. And it still didn't. It was, geyser spewed out of it. Cody and I were going, Greg, would you please buy yourself a new boat? Well, he did. He called me a little while after that because I hazed him so long about it. He called me and said, I bought a new boat, a 1969 boat. Well, it is new in this sense. It doesn't leak. Well, I went down there not too long ago fishing with him, and we were standing there. It made me think of this passage. We were actually washing his nets. He has some bait casting net. We were washing those nets out, and this scripture occurred to me. And I said, Brother Greg, what if a man just walked up to you and got in your boat, didn't ask you, just got in your boat and said, hey, shove off. Greg's, and you know how fishermen are with their boats and so. He said, "Well, it'd have to be the Lord." This was. That's who this was. I often think, I almost always think of Simon Peter as being a man, something like maybe Tommy Nail. Tommy working this morning? You know, big, burly fella. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But that's how I picture Simon Peter, don't you? Big, rough, gruff fella. He would take on the world. He tried to, didn't he? Took a sword and was going to call house on everybody. Nobody could, you know, stand up to that man. It takes somebody, a bigger man than him, to tell him what to do, didn't it? The scripture says, God hath anointed him with the oil of gladness above his fellows. He is infinitely greater. The only one with this power, to exert this power over the most obstinate of men. The hardest of hearts. This is the only one who can. And bless your heart, he does. Aren't you glad, Brother Bob? That he's stronger than you. Aren't you glad he exerted this power that day he called you by the gospel? He said, "I won't come." He said, "Yes, you will." Yes, you will. He made you willing in the day of his power. Isn't that still your hope and your peace to this day? That while you're prone to wander, if you could have your way and your will, you would, and you'd run off in a hurry. But he said, "No, you don't." Isn't that your salvation? That a one stronger and mightier than you has purpose to save you. He said, "I have you in my hand, and you'll nobody can pluck you out of my hand." He is the Lord. Came to his own. Listen to this. He came to his own. Scripture says his own received him not. So what did he do? He took them anyway. You ever thought about that? He came to his own. His own received him not. So what did he do? He took it. Like David. Remember, I love that story of David. He came to Jerusalem. This was before he was set up on the throne in Jerusalem. The Jebusites were inhabiting Jerusalem at the time. He came there and they stood behind the walls and said, those little fellas behind the wall, Jebusites, said, "He can't come in here." What's the next verse, Brother Todd? Nevertheless, David took it. He took it. He took what was here. He came. This is the Lord. See, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. This is his lake. This is his boat. Those are his fish. These are his men. And he calls and takes what's his. Cannot I do with my own what I will? Yes, he can and he does. Just that. Election. A doctrine. It's unto salvation. If he's chosen you, you're his. And nothing and no one can stop it. See, that's our hope. That's the hope for our children. We hope and pray they're one of his elect. Because if they are, they're going to hear his voice. And come hell or high water, they're coming to him. In the fullness of time. Isn't that our hope? Not a doctrine. This is who he is. This is what he does. This is how he saves. Power. Christ has that power, has that authority. He came to Satan, our arch enemy, a couple of chapters back. He came to Satan, our arch enemy. He said, "Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat." What he said of Simon, he says of all of his people, "He hath desired you." What's our hope? What's Peter's hope? I'm mightier than him. Faced him. The first act he did actually was face our adversary, wasn't it? As a man, didn't it, Don? Faced our adversary. And he said, like we'd say to a cur dog, "Get behind me, Satan." Oh, the disciples hid behind him for 3.5 years, didn't it? They hid behind him. He was their salvation. We're still hiding behind him. He is our salvation. He said to those demons who said, "We know who you are. You come to torment us, to destroy us." He said, "Hush. Shut up." And they shut up. He's the only one that can. And he does. He came to the temple, back a chapter or so. He came to the temple and sat down to teach. And the Pharisees were all offended. The Pharisees said, "By whose authority do you do this?" Well, Malachi said, "The Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple." This is his temple. This is not their temple. They're trespassing. And he came to his temple. In fact, later on, he planted a whip, Brother D, and he said, "Get out of my house." And he calls whom he will to his house. Oh, how blessed are they who are called, not invited, mind you, called to his house. It's his house. It's his temple. It's his salvation. It belongs to him. Belongs to him. He came one day on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day. And he did something to offend the Pharisee. And they said, "You can't do that." "Yes, I can. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord of his people. He's Lord over all." They brought a guilty woman before him one day. Guilty. Everybody said she was guilty. And they said, "Moses and the law says that she's to be stoned. What do you say?" He said, "Innocent." "You can't do that. I just did." One time they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lay in his bed, and what did he say to him? The most blessed words a human being can hear. "Thy sins be forgiven them." Oh, they really were upset then. Who can forgive sins but God? Right. Said, "You can't do that." He did. And he said to them, "Which is easier? Which is easier? To say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or 'Take up thy bed and walk'? Which is easier?" Humanly speaking, it's easier to say that, isn't it? To say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And all over the land, imposters, pretenders, fellows who pretend to have that power to bless and to forgive sin, all over the land are telling people, "Thy sins be forgiven thee. Bless you, you know. You know, bless, 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 bless." But they don't have that power. They can say it all day long, and it won't be so, will it? Oh, Brother Chris, when he said it, it was done. It was done. Why? Because he said it. He said to the disciple, "Now are you clean." How? "Through the word I spoke unto you. Because I say so." He has that power, doesn't he? Clean. Just pronounce clean with the word. Oh, that's power. That's who I need. That's who I need. And that woman caught in that act of adultery, he said with a word, sovereignly, frankly, freely, finally, irrevocably, unchangeably forgave, justified, removed all charges against her, blotted out the handwriting of ordinances against her that God himself held against her. He just blotted it out. Blotted it out. Scripture says, "He taketh away the first to establish the second. He who wrote the law says, 'Don't need that anymore.'" Who can do that? You can't do it. I already have. It's been done. Power. Virtue. Virtue. Oh, my. This is the Lord that we believe. The Lord we... And back in our text, it says here, they came to hear him, to be healed of their diseases. They came to... that were vexed with unclean spirit, to hear him. You know, Scripture says, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, that's not lip service. Many people draw near with their lips when their hearts are far from them. With the heart man believeth unto salvation. Believe what? That he's Lord. Don't just say that. They believe that he's Lord. You see, only one who is unrighteous, I mean knows they're unrighteous, will call on the Lord to be their righteousness. I mean really call on the Lord to be their righteousness. Only a sinner. A Romans 7 sinner. That's what a sinner is. A Romans 7 sinner who says the things that I would not, that's what I do, and what I would not want to do, I cannot. I how to perform, I find not. I don't know how. Without him, you can do nothing but sin. That's the one who calls on the Lord. Lord's brother, you're talking about short prayers, Brother David. Brother Chris preached at our place a three-word prayer. Lord, save me. Oh, those who, only the lost will call on someone to come find them, won't they? It really is that simple. People call on Jesus all the time to make their next house payment. But people, God, those who call on the name of the Lord, how shall they call on him whom they've not heard and whom they've not believed? Nobody's going to call on him that they don't believe has the power to save them. And only helpless sinners call on this sovereign Lord. Only the unrighteous call on the Lord to be their righteousness. Well, that's who he came down to save. It says here he came down. If he hadn't come down, we're not going up. No man can get to God except by him, can he? And so he came down. And he stood with them. Oh my. In the company of a bunch of motley fellas. And I believe I'm in that company, I hope. I'm Matthew, the publican, anyway. And he stood with them there. And they came to hear him, and bless God, they were healed of their diseases, all that were vexed. Everyone who came to hear him, to touch him, to seek him, to call on this Lord who had all power, the only one who does, that was vexed, that needed healing, no matter what it was, all manner of sin, they were healed. How? By virtue of him, his power. Okay, Lord. Thank you.